Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Alexander Benz.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
The Windy City Queercast show number 580. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Alexandria Billingo.
Or?
Alexandra Billings.
You are Alexandra Billings.
I am, and I'm also Alexandria Billingo.
I love it. How are you?
I'm fine, honey. How are you?
I am great. It's the middle of gay pride.
It's the middle of gay pride.
It's right smack dab in the middle of gay pride. I'm feeling very proud, and I'm very glad to have you back on the show because it's been far, far too long. And for our listeners, you're out in LA area. You're in California on the Pacific Coast.
That's where I am.
And so representing the pride from Chicago all the way coast to coast. And do you have pride celebrations you're a part of there in LA or Long Beach or around your home?
Well, ironically, where we live right now is actually on the street where the pride shmangy happens. Literally, we're on, they're right, they go right by.
You're
our
on the shmangy. I like that.
Yeah, true. And I'm sitting here looking, I'm sorry, I'm talking to you, and I'm also on my balcony outside, and there are fireworks going on way in the distance, and I don't know what's happening. Anyway, I'm distracted by shiny things.
It's gays.
They're really kind of fabulous.
Blasting off their Roman candles. That's what's happening. Blasting off their Roman candles. There you are.
That's what's happening. Well, they're really big candles, let me tell you. Really, really large. But yeah, it's gay. It couldn't be gayer. Everyone's gay. The dogs are gay. The trees are gay. Everyone's gay. Here.
So you don't even, it's kind of how I feel like as a professional gay, I kind of feel like by the time we get to the parade, I just need to lay down and take a rest because I know the other 500,000 people are out on the street and I can just lay down at home on my couch.
Yeah, that's right. It's true.
Very quiet. My work is done. My work is done here. If I have a
you need to do,
gays.
Yeah. There's nothing else that you need to do.
There's nothing else. My life is my life. My life is so gay that it's exactly right, you know.
Your gay is so life.
My gay is so life.
Your gay is so life.
So, you have pretty freaking exciting news. That you just...
I just got a pedicure. Isn't that exciting?
That is exciting.
It looks,
because during Cicada, I didn't have a hair dye job, a haircut, or a mani-pedi. This week has been really amazing.
That's no good.
I've been doing
the
H to T Tyra makeover. But I know you got a pedicure and it's fabulous and gay. But I hear that you got a television series. Tell us about this series that you're going to be a part of.
I do. I'm going to be, on the TV is what's going to, it's called Transparent.
Yes.
And it's going to be on Amazon. It stars Jeffrey Tambor and Judith Light. Those are the big stars.
They are big stars. They're huge.
They're big stars. They're huge, large, very, very, very wide stars.
Well, and Judith Light could not be a bigger GLBT advocate, throughout her
career.
Let
me say something about
lady.
That. Lady. Oh, my gosh. And she's just funny.
Yes.
And she's also really brilliant in this show. She plays sort of, she's the wife of Jeffrey Tambor, and Jeffrey plays a middle-aged man who is just beginning to transition. Mm. So they divorce after years and years of marriage. They have two children. And Amy Landecker's in it. Chicago's Amy Landecker.
Yes.
Amy Landecker is in it. She plays one of the daughters, and there's two daughters and one son, and it's basically about this family. But Judith Light, it's sort of this drunk, mean, bitter, angry lady who's now remarried to a man who had a slight stroke, who's a bit of a nothing, who sits on a couch. And so her life has just not turned out the way she planned at all. And then offset, she's this funny, sweet, kind, intelligent, sexy, fabulous woman who doesn't ask. There's two transgender people, actually, and I play a character named Davina, who is Jeffrey Tambor's best friend. I probably should have said that earlier. And myself and Ian Harvey, are you familiar with Ian Harvey?
That name is so familiar.
You need to know him, Amy. You and him need to be best friends, and here's why. Because he's transgender, and he's a comic, and super funny, and super sexy, and unbelievably good-looking, and really great, and just a really great guy. And he's been doing stand-up for years and years, and he got cast in this show as well.
Wow.
And he and I are transgender actors playing transgender characters. So the writers, Jill Soloway and her sister Faith, along with a lot of other people, Jill's also the director and executive producer, they went to great lengths to make sure that this was authentic and took care of our community. It's funny. You know, it was written by, they also wrote United States of Tara and 6 Feet Under and a whole bunch of Arrested Development. So it's that kind of show. Mm.
Is it a half hour? Is it half hour comedy? Is it an hour long comedy drama or dramedy?
Well, it's a half hour, but yeah, I don't know if I call it a comedy. I mean, it's funny, but it's like, you know how Arrested Development was sometimes funny, but then also there were times when you're like, oh God, this is, I have to go home now.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it's like that too.
Yeah. Wow. It's so exciting. And, and Amazon now is entering this whole foray like Netflix did with House of Cards and Orange is the New Black. And so, this is very exciting because they have greenlit a number of different series. And so this is pretty exciting that they're getting writers and executive producers who had success on Showtime or HBO who are now wanting the freedom that I know they get, right, when they move to these new ventures like Netflix, which Jinji Cohen did with Orange is the New Black, and now with these ladies, moving to Amazon. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Well, it is exciting, and it's also like, it's where HBO and Showtime used to be years ago.
Right.
The interweb is not police. There's no, we can do we're getting away with murder. I mean, we're just doing anything that comes into our pretty little heads.
Yep.
And so, because it's not regulated.
Yep.
So we're just doing stuff. And that, you know, we get away with a lot of stuff that even cable can't do.
Hmm. Well, it's really exciting. And I, do they know when it's going to air?
I don't have an air date. I mean, I'm guessing, and I'll say September, but that's a guess. I really don't know.
Are you
all
filming like a 12-episode arc, or is it? Are you filming the whole thing straight through? So is the intent that people download and can binge watch like they do with Netflix?
I think so, because they ordered 13 episodes,
yep,
and I'm in six, I think. Six?
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Oh, I'm so excited. You know, Judith Light, I got to meet her when I went to see the Laramie Project 10 years later. And I, too, think, you know, she was just the loveliest, kindest, warmest, you know, woman. And it's so funny because one of my guilty pleasures is the Dallas remake. And she is just the greatest character on that show.
Oh, that's so great.
That's like this Texas madam cocaine dealing. You know, has her like 48-year-old son still under her thumb living in her house. And, you know, oh my God, she's so delicious on that show. I can't even tell you. I mean,
well, you have to really hand it to her. I mean, here's a woman who started, I think, on a soap opera, I believe.
Yeah. Or yeah. And then Who's the Boss was like her claim.
Yeah. And then did that for a long time. And I mean, most actresses that have that kind of a very recognizable career don't really, you know, that's about it. You know, she might have done another hit show. I mean, Who's the Boss certainly was a great big hit, so it's not like she had a sad career, but it was a very specified career. And she just, you know, she went back to the theater, which
that's
were her
right.
roots anyway, and she really just carved an amazing path for herself. It's really extraordinary.
Well, and it's interesting that you're on this show, and I've been doing news stories the past few weeks, which is why I wanted to have you on the show and said, hey, Alex, will you come on Pride Month and talk around some trans issues and controversies that have been going on? Because there are new trans stories and trans shows that are, whether they be reality or documentary or whatever, that have started to come to the forefront. Tyra Banks is working on one, you know, Lisa Ling and Oprah have, you know, their show on OWN. Now we're moving into the fiction genre with trans characters, which is really exciting. And, you know, and we've been saying for years, you and I and others, you know, that really it's been like, you know, gay and lesbian issues have been addressed first, and then the trans community's kind of been left, and then their protections have had to come, you know, the trans community's protections have had to come later often. So we're really seeing the momentum now if trans stories, trans individuals, even fictional stories are starting to see their day and move into the mainstream. And I think that's super exciting. We got a break for some news really, really quick. We'll be back with Alexander Billings. We're going to talk about the T word. We are, folks. And really want Alex's perspective on the whole RuPaul controversy and what's been going on in recent weeks that continues to be a flame that is gaining oxygen. So Alexander Billings on the show with us. We'll be back after we tell you what's going on in the news and theater world this week.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. A federal appeals court will hear arguments in gay marriage fights in Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee in a single session, setting the stage for historic rulings in each state. The 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, based in Cincinnati, Ohio, scheduled arguments in 5 cases from the 4 states for August 6th. Although the cases are unique, each deals with whether statewide gay marriage bans violate the Constitution. In Cincinnati, a 3-judge panel will hear arguments in each case one at a time, It's unclear whether it will issue a large ruling encompassing all the cases or separate ones.
Social Security has published new instructions that allow the agency to process more claims in which entitlement or eligibility is affected by a same-sex relationship. This latest policy development lets the agency recognize some non-marital legal relationships as marriages for determining entitlement to benefits. These instructions come in response to last year's Supreme Court decision in U.S. versus Windsor, which found Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional.
New York's first openly gay member of Congress has married his longtime partner. Democrat Sean Patrick Maloney exchanged vows with Randy Jean Florkey. Florkey proposed in December after the youngest of their three children wrote to Santa wishing for her parents to be married. Maloney and Florkey have been together 22 years and have three children, ages 11 to 24.
The Presbyterian Church USA voted to allow pastors to marry same-sex couples in states where it's legal. The church also voted by an overwhelming majority to change the language about marriage in the church constitution to two persons from a man and a woman. To take effect, that change would need to be approved by a majority of 172 local presbyteries, which have a year to vote. However, pastors can begin marrying same-sex couples in the states that allow it.
The U.S. Labor Department has stated that married same-sex couples nationwide will soon have access to emergency leave benefits under the Family and Medical Leave Act. Labor Department officials issued a proposed rule that would expand the definition of spouse under the Leave Act to include all legally married gay and lesbian couples, regardless of their state of residence. Signed into law in 1993, the Family and Medical Leave Act guarantees eligible private and public employees up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave per year in cases of serious illness or injury, or to care for sick or injured family members, including spouses and their immediate relatives.
Washington, D.C. police are investigating a string of robberies in which transgender women were apparently targeted. The crimes all occurred June 10th through 18th along the Eastern Avenue corridor and side streets. Police say they are not currently treating the robberies as related because descriptions of the suspects vary.
Nearly 2 years after a teenager and her girlfriend were both shot in the head on a grassy hillside in South Texas, killing one of them and leaving the other with serious injuries, authorities have arrested a man in the attack. U.S. Marshals and Texas Rangers in a San Antonio suburb arrested David Malcolm Strickland, 27. He is facing charges of capital murder, aggravated assault with a weapon, and aggravated assault in the June 23, 2012 attack on Molly Olgan, 19, who died in the shooting. Olgan's girlfriend, Christine Chapa, then 18, survived.
In Florida, Fort Lauderdale City Commissioners approved a marriage equality resolution that encourages state leaders to take action to legalize same-sex marriage. The commission won approval with a 3-2 vote.
Lesbian attorney Maite Oroños Rodriguez became the first openly gay person on Puerto Rico's Supreme Court. Governor Alejandro Garcia Padilla congratulated Rodriguez on her Senate confirmation by the Senate as a new associate judge of the Supreme Court of the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico.
In Florida, Fort Myers police are trying to find the killer of a transgender woman whose body was found burned behind a garbage bin. Police identified the victim as Eddie James Owen, 31, but family members said Owen identified as a woman and went by the name Yasmin. The police department has not determined a cause of death and is not investigating the homicide as a hate crime.
A pastor who presided over his son's same-sex wedding ceremony and vowed to perform other gay marriages, if asked, can return to the pulpit after a United Methodist Church appeals panel overturned a decision to drop him. A 9-person appeals panel ordered the church to restore Frank Schaefer's pastoral credentials, saying the jury that convicted him of breaking church law erred when fashioning his punishment. The church suspended Schaefer of Lebanon, Pennsylvania, last year for officiating his son's 2007 wedding.
A new study has shown that bisexual men are disproportionately affected by HIV and STDs. In the U.S. last year, 21% of bisexual men reported STD treatment, compared to 12% for gay men and 2.3% for straight men.
In world news, Uganda's government institutions will lose U.S. funding as punishment for enacting a law that makes some same-sex acts punishable by life in prison. In addition, the White House said that Washington will cancel a planned military exercise with Uganda and deny entry to certain Ugandan citizens, including those involved in serious human rights abuses, including against LGBT individuals. However, the United States will not end its humanitarian support for Uganda or its cooperation to vanquish the Lord's Resistance Army.
The Luxembourg House of Representatives approved a same-sex marriage bill on June 18th by a vote of 56-4. Luxembourg is now the 17th country to pass legislation providing for the right to same-sex marriage in its national laws.
A 12-year-old transgender Canadian boy now has a birth certificate recognizing him as male. A mayor presented Wren Kaufman from Alberta with the new documents. Kaufman and his family had filed a complaint with the Alberta Human Rights Commission demanding the government recognize their son as a boy.
Figures have revealed increased levels of anti-LGBT crime for each London borough. There were 1,185 crimes across London from May 2013 to 2014 of May, compared to 1,109 from the previous year. City Hall says London Mayor Boris Johnson is working on a new strategy to down on these attacks.
In entertainment news, openly gay musical artist Ricky Martin surprised fans during a live concert in Morocco when he changed the lyrics to a song from She to He while performing at an annual music festival which takes place in Rabat, Morocco, second largest city. Martin altered the lyrics to his 1999 hit, She's All I Ever Had. Same-sex unions are not recognized in Morocco, and while the law is only sporadically enforced, gay sex is illegal in that country.
Orange is the New Black was the big winner at the 4th Annual Critics' Choice TV Awards. The Netflix original won Best Comedy Series along with Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy for Kate Mulgrew, Best Guest Performance in a Comedy for Uzu Aduba. Among some of the other winners were The Normal Heart, actress Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black, Breaking Bad Matt Bomer from The Normal Heart. In addition, The Big Bang Theory's Jim Parsons presented the Louis the 13th Genius Award to Ryan Murphy for his work on American Horror Story, Glee, and the AIDS drama The Normal Heart.
Singer R. Kelly has talked for the first time about his transgender son. Asked about 14-year-old Jay Kelly on the Chicago radio station WGCI, the singer said, "You don't really want to open it up by saying my daughter is becoming my son, because if that were true, don't even give the blogs that kind of credit." In the end, Kelly said he didn't want to address the news and implied that the report was inaccurate in some way.
The Hairy Men Are Back. Season 3 of the gay comedy mystery web series Where the Bears Are will premiere on August 11th. The series recently won After Elton.com's Best Gay Web Series. It's accumulated more than 9 million views since premiering in 2012. And Season 3 is a romp through L.A.'s trendy neighborhood of Silver Lake.
Sandrine Holt and Agnes Bruckner have been cast as a lesbian couple in the U.S. version of the critically acclaimed French show Les Revenants. The new show, The Returned, will air 10 episodes on A&E. The Returned is set in a small town that starts to experience some odd supernatural incidents.
Out actor Zachary Quinto will guest star in at least one upcoming episode of Girls on HBO. Quinto was photographed in Brooklyn shooting a scene with creator, executive producer, and star Lena Dunham. Quinto is a star of Star Trek, as well as TV projects Heroes and American Horror Story.
Season 13 of Lifetime's Project Runway returns on Thursday, July 24th, offering one past designer the chance to come back to the workroom and compete in Season 13. Fans were able to vote on their favorite designer's Insta portfolio, choosing from former season favorites Ken Lawrence from Season 12, Alexander Pope, also from Season 12, and Amanda Valentine of Season 11.
And singer Bonnie Raitt will kick off the upcoming Thanksgiving Caribbean cruise for Olivia Travel, which offers vacations for the lesbian community. Cruise is scheduled to take place November 23rd through 30th, and other entertainers for the trip include singer Chris Williamson, comedian Suzanne Westenhofer and Poppy Champlin, and classically trained chef Josie Smith-Malave.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Lily Tomlin, and I'm on Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
weird,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 30th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Jennifer Nettles' That Girl Tour is coming to River Edge Park in Aurora Friday, August 29th. That's Sugarland's Jennifer Nettles live in concert, also featuring folk rock duo The Indigo Girls and singer-songwriter Brandi Clark. River Edge in Aurora, just 3 miles south of I-88 and across from the Metro station. Tickets are at riveredgeaurora.com. That's riveredgeaurora.com.
Lifeline Theater proudly presents a world premiere adaptation of Terry Pratchett's 2003 Discworld novel, Monstrous Regiment, a wickedly funny look at war and gender politics. Tickets and more for Monstrous Regiment at lifelinetheater.com. Runs Thursdays through Sundays through July 20th.
Experience a brand new musical coming to life with soaring melodies paired with poignant and witty lyrics. Days Like Today explores what it takes to maintain a relationship in a world where love seems sometimes impossible. To purchase tickets to Days Like Today, visit writerstheater.org. Days Like Today is now playing at Writers Theater in Glencoe, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Edens or Metra.
Main Stage in Rogers Park presents America's favorite drag a cappella group, McKinsey Six, performing new show, America's Next Top Bachelor Housewife Celebrity Hoarder Makeover Star, Gone Wild. Two shows only on August 1st. Tickets at mayne stage.com. Don't miss the McKinsey Six. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
I look into the window of my mind. Reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascend.
What the tea? I mean, okay, here's the deal. So, you know, I mean, I think I know where you stand on this, but I'm really, really curious because there's been the controversy in recent weeks, in recent months even. I don't know that it begins and ends with RuPaul, but, you know, RuPaul, the most mainstream trans person for the past few decades, with some consistency, used the tranny word, or she male word, referencing the mail that they get, M-I-M-A-I-L, on RuPaul's Drag Race. Now, RuPaul's Drag Race, huge avenue for illusionists and drag performers and trans performers, and has definitely entered the mainstream, and been a very successful product, that television show. What is your take on RuPaul's stance and his defiance that this is, he said last week, hold on, let me just get a real quote. He said just a couple of weeks ago that he did not want to apologize for anything. Hold on. I want to at least use his accurate words before we bring our opinions down on them or support them. He said he loves the word tranny, and don't you dare tell me what I can do or say. It's just words. When he was approached that some people may be offended, he replied, no, it is not the transsexual community. These are fringe people who are looking for storylines to strengthen their identity as victims. Go. And go.
And go.
No, I can't speak to this. I mean, I feel like who needs to be speaking to this? I mean, and who has, you know, younger trans performer and becoming quite a celebrity, Carmen Carrera, has spoken out adamantly against this and adamantly against RuPaul's old ideas that need to change, according to Carmen. And then Carmen has, she has come under great ridicule and attack. So what is the crux of this argument, Alex, as you see it?
Well, all right. Listen to me. I have some things to say.
This is why I called you. I need to listen to you.
First of all, there's a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to say this. I don't think RuPaul should apologize. I think that whatever he wants to call himself, he should call himself that. That's the first thing. The second thing is, much like gay marriage, we're having the wrong conversation once again, which is usual for us as Americans. We tend to do that until we figure out exactly what the foundation is from where we stand. Mm-hmm. We dance around a lot of things. And we're actually not having the conversation that we need to have, I believe, in my opinion. I think the conversation we need to have is still gender politics, unfortunately. And here's what I mean. And I'm going to try and be, like, really clear here, because it makes perfect sense in my head, but, you know, that can mean anything. If you look at the names that we have for men who transitioned into females, and I'm by names I mean words that are can be mistaken or taken as derogatory, tranny, she-male, things like that. We have them very specifically for men who transition into women. If you look at women who transition into men, we can certainly call them trannies, but we don't. Not as a rule, we don't. And we also don't have a list of popular terms that can or might be taken as derogatory. So I always look at that and think to myself, well, now, why do you think we have derogatory terms for the transgender females, but we don't have derogatory terms for the transgender males? Hmm. And I go back to basic gender politics, which is, women, it is still okay, even in the transgender community, and you know this, in the gay community, it's true too. As long as you're a woman, you are still a second-class citizen. Even if you're a woman who spends time being a man, we still get to call you anything we want to call you, and you need to be okay with it. Remember in the 50s, when it was baby and honey and sugar and sweetie? Mm-hmm. And then the sexual revolution and the women's revolution happened, and all of a sudden women said, no, you're not going to call me that anymore. I don't want to be called a chick. I'm not a fuzzy yellow bird. Stop doing that. And all the men went, what are you talking about? You're crazy. They're just words. Mm-hmm. So, again, I think we're having the wrong conversation. And I want to talk about gay marriage because this does apply. Okay. Just for a second. When we talk about gay marriage, when most people, let me say that, talk about gay marriage, what they're talking about are two men having sex. No one cares about the lesbians. No one cares. Screw yourself blue, honey. Nobody cares. The laws on the books in the United States and around the world are sodomy laws. They don't have anything to do with two women having, I mean, women, of course, can have, of course, but they're put on the books for men. That is the driving force mm-hmm. for those rules. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to see men, in our eyes, and I'm using quotes around this word, feminized. Mm-hmm. Because when that happens, the men become second-class citizens. Mm-hmm. This is the reason we don't have a female president. We can't fathom, and I'm talking about America right now, this is innately patriarchal, colonial Americanism that I'm talking about right now. We can't fathom taking orders from mom. Because if we take orders from mom, what happened to Dad? Why isn't he speaking? Where is his voice? He's always been in charge. He's always been the one to bring home the bacon. This does not make sense to us. Mm-hmm. Even in the gay community, Amy, even in the gay community, even RuPaul, who is an African-American, gay, drag queen, says to us very clearly, no. When I'm dressed like this, I call myself a tranny. And I call every single transgender person a tranny, and that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the difference. RuPaul can take his stuff off.
Well,
I cannot.
Well, that's it, right? I mean, that's to me what I see somebody when I hear someone like Carmen Carrera coming out. And I'm like, you know, this is when we overgeneralize a group of people who are going through different experiences. You know, because as you said, I mean, in some ways, RuPaul just has a character that he plays that is RuPaul and does not live his life 24/7.
Well, but let me say this, too, because I understand where you're going, but let me say this, too, because I want to be really clear that I am not making a statement because I really am tired of this statement. I'm tired of people saying it's not the word, it's the feeling behind it. That's
mm-hmm.
crap.
Mm-hmm.
It is the word.
Mm-hmm.
The N-word, when you say that, it is the word. And it is the word because that word has a history.
Yes.
And when you speak it out into the universe, it reverberates. So the reason text was invented was because sound was not enough. That's why we started speaking words.
Right.
So we have to know that. Words are very, very powerful. Now, then you add an intuit, meaning an emotional truth behind it, and you have a whole bunch of stuff going on. But the word is just as important as the feeling behind it. So I want to make this point. I have girlfriends who are transgender, who are living their lives as transgender females,
mm-hmm.
and they love that word tranny. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. That's why I say, I'll never forget this, Amy. When I was 17 years old, I lived here in California. And in California, it's fabulous all year long. Fabulous. It's fabulous. And so I would, as a teenager, live my life barefoot in shorts with no shirt. Then I moved. My parents got divorced and we moved to Chicago. And it is cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to transition. So I was about 18, 19 years old when I started to transition. And I got on hormones. And I started to grow breasts. And I came back to visit my father who lived here in L.A. And this it was during the summer and I was doing a musical. And I remember walking to rehearsal and thinking to myself, oh, my God, it's hot. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I can't take my shirt off anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because I lose power.
Mm-hmm.
Women are second-class citizens. I'm going to keep going back to this until somebody hears me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember losing my power. I remember all of a sudden, as I began to transition, I couldn't open a door by myself. I couldn't light my cigarette by myself. I couldn't sit down without somebody pulling out my chair. I mean, all of a sudden, I became helpless.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, you know, a year ago, I could do all this stuff. I mean, it's lovely that you want to do all these things for me. However, I don't need you to do these things for me.
Mm-hmm.
I can do these things.
Mm-hmm.
So even as the transgender community and men and women in the gay community, I've always said this, a gay man is still a man.
Right.
And we need to know, and I'm not blaming men. Please don't think I'm blaming men. I'm not blaming one sex or the other. I'm saying all of us collectively have adhered to this idea of men and women and what gender means for generations.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have this subculture of a subculture, the transgender movement, which is now, as you said so beautifully, gaining speed. And now we have these words coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my thing. And so that aside, let me say this very quickly, too. If you want to call somebody something, just make sure you say it with kindness and with grace. And that in some way, whatever it is that you're saying to them, you are honoring their journey on the planet. Now, if that's true, and you can say tranny to another human being, because, you know, we're all divine spirits having a human experience. So if you can say that clearly, with a clear heart and a clear vessel and with grace, honoring their journey, if you can say that word to somebody else, I think you should use it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, you know, because as you're saying this, I mean, and obviously I feel that books will be written on this. And if they haven't already, I have to say,
I think you're right.
I haven't read any, but you know, when, you know, black writers started really writing about the young, mostly rap, mostly male, hip hop rap world started taking back the N word. And, you know, and it became this huge thing of like, it's not the word, or we're taking back the word, or we, it's our world word. We've reclaimed it. We've reconstituted this word. Right. And that's our power. And to hear you say that, you know, transgender females who love the word. And I wonder what generation they are in, you know, and it is becoming interesting that I do think that there's probably a generation around our generation, yours and mine, who may be more comfortable with the word than people coming up younger, you know, in the 20-somethings. And I think it's for a lot of reasons. You know, we saw this happen in the GLBT community, the gay community primarily, I guess, the G community, the gay community, you know, around the word fag and around the word faggot. And, you know, because these words, you know, were words that I think that our generation heard at times or used at times. And I hear younger generations, thank God, teaching us better.
Yeah, that's right.
Teaching us with more consciousness, with less hatred and less marginalization and less labels coming up, you know, behind us. They are hopefully growing up in a world with more acceptance, more mainstreaming, more visibility, less ignorance, more understanding. Hopefully more compassion.
I think that's absolutely right. See, I mean, I think you hit the nail right on the head, Amy. It's generational. And I have to tell you this, the difference between our generation, especially the LGBT generation of, you know, 45, I think, and over, and the 20-somethings, because I teach those kids. I'm around them all the time. The difference between the two generations is we lived through the plague.
That's right.
We lost most every single friend we had when we were their age.
Right.
And so we have a real sense of ownership. Nobody, and this is the attitude, and I have this attitude too. Nobody's going to tell me.
That's right.
How to speak, what to say, what to do. You don't tell me what to do. Do you know what I lived through?
That's
do you
right.
know what I survived?
That's
Are you
right.
nuts? And this 20-something generation has absolutely no, they have no idea. They were born with cell phones in their lunch boxes.
Right. They have no fight, which is not a bad thing. Maybe.
No,
I don't know. You know,
thank
like
God.
Our generation, it was really interesting because I watched The Normal Heart on HBO. I also saw a beautiful production this year here at Timeline Theater. Our friend Steven Rader was in it, and David Cromer and Patrick Andrews. It was brilliant. And what I loved was the difference when somebody said, what do you think the difference was from like seeing it on stage and seeing it in the film? And I said, you know, it's interesting. And maybe it's because I know some of these people and their theater actors, and it was in a theater. But I said there was a lot of more comedy, and the film had a lot more tragedy. and didn't mean that the stage play with these people that I know was less tragic. It's almost like if you can find that humor and what came from, you know, especially the gay men's community at the time, you know, of what we now think of as like the sarcastic wit, the biting humor. You know, Oscar Wilde had it for a different reason in his generation. Yeah. But, you know, the raconteur, the control of language, and the savoring, you know, of the fight, in your ferocity and your frustration to use the only thing you had, which was your words, right? Larry Kramer, you know, act up, speak up, that whole thing. And I felt that more from the stage play than I kind of felt from the film. You know, that they were fighting in a different way kind of in the film, and neither was bad, wrong. You know, it is, but I felt like when watching the stage play that I saw the birth of this fighting spirit that was biting and crisp and pointed and called people on the carpet and also, you know, very funny. And I just wonder, you know, this new generation, you know, they, as you said, they aren't survivors. They've learned that kind of language or banter in a different way. It's a casual way.
Well, that's right. And think about that, you know, Mitchell tells this great, you should have him tell you this story when he watched, the movie. He was watching with two friends of his who were in their 20s, and he had a very, very large, visceral experience to it and shattered in a really big way. And his friends, of course, were moved, but they weren't having that experience.
Yeah.
And they turned to Mitchell and they said, tell us what's going on and tell us, you know, what you're feeling. And Mitchell said to me, you know, it was so overwhelming that I didn't even know what to say to them. How do you explain this experience?
Right. That's right.
And, you know, if we look back at Stonewall and we look back at who the people were that got the revolution started in the first place,
right,
it was the transgender community that had had enough. Now, it wasn't only transgender people at that bar. As a matter of fact, there were lesbians at that bar as well as gay men. There were our whole community was at that bar.
Yeah.
But
supposedly the lesbian that threw the first punch just passed away in New York last
week. Yes, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if we look at transgender history, the fact that we are a historical, and that, this is my other problem, we are a historical tribe. We go back to Adam. So we have a long history on the earth as a people. We're revered in some countries. We're gods and goddesses in different times in American, Egyptian history. You know, we have a very, very rich history. So why would you want to distill it down in 2004, what year is this, 14? I don't know what the hell year it is. Like, why would you want to distill our history down to these derogatory terms?
Yeah.
This is what I don't understand is happening. And why I don't, and again, I think you're right, it's generational. Because you look at the people and the women that I've talked to, the transgender women that I've talked to that love the word, are our age. They're from our generation.
What do you think? I mean, do you think Carmen has a right to stand up and speak and try to fight this fight?
Of course she does. Oh, absolutely. Of course she does. She's got a right, just like RuPaul has a right. And I meant what I said. If RuPaul loves this word, he should absolutely use it.
Yeah.
And if he wants to call everybody that, he should absolutely use it. I just want to make sure he's asking himself this question. Am I doing it with grace, with kindness, and am I honoring their journey on the planet?
Right.
And before he uses that word, if he asks himself those three things and he still can use it, then he should absolutely do it. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my thing is always this. Anything that you're going to call somebody else, if you would call the same thing to your mother when you were in church, go ahead and use it. That's my litmus test.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd probably call my
because
mom.
Because if you have,
I'd call my mom a girl in church, but I wouldn't call her
No, I haven't ever.
But girl, please. I'd probably say that. Even
maybe you would
a sermon. I would.
Sure you would.
But I, that's probably about as slang as I would get.
But see, that's what I'm saying. If you have to second guess, if you have to say, oh, maybe I wouldn't, then, you know, don't use it. Find something else. But there's lots of different words in the vocabulary, the English vocabulary.
This is not a word you are comfortable with, though, right?
I don't like the way it reverberates in me, so for some reason, I mean, you know, it's different than the N-word, you know, because now we're talking about race, and it's different than, you know, it's different than a racial slur, it's different than a gender slur, it's, you know, this is a new word. First of all, it's not very old, we have to remember that.
Right.
It's not a very old word, so it doesn't have a lot of stuff yet, it hasn't gone through the metamorphosis quite yet.
Yeah.
That's why
I mean,
we're having this discussion.
Is it different than faggot?
Oh, I think so. Yes, I do. I do think the two are different. Yes. Again, it's not about, and I want to be really clear, it's not about weight. I don't believe in better and worse. I don't think the N-word is better or worse than the F-word, which is better or worse than the T-word. I don't believe any of them have weight. I believe all of them mean something specific. And because we're having this conversation, Amy, that immediately says to me, something about this word is disturbing. So why are we using it?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't understand. No one's answered that question. Like, no one has said to me, I think we should use this word because it makes me feel fantastic. Like, nobody said that. What I've heard is, I can say anything I want. Don't tell me what not to say.
That's right. And I think, you know, and then, you know, the other reference to, you know, as you said, that we're hearing these derogatory terms toward transgender females, you know, the term she-male or, you know, that's you that was used on the show, you know, as supposedly a pun, you know, is not very punny. Is
it's not punny.
It's not punny.
It's unpunny.
But, you know, here's the thing, and here's what is. Whether he needs to apologize or not, you know, I sometimes think it's interesting when people want to throw their hands up in positions of power who have platforms and have audience to say, I get to say this and not stand on the shoulders and understand the platform that they are on of influence, right? Like we watch a show like Modern Family, you know, having a 2-week wedding episode of Mitch and Cam around the same time this controversy kind of really started bubbling to the surface around the T word for this particular episode and RuPaul. And, you know, and so here we have Modern Family, right? And we can say, oh, well, RuPaul's Drag Race is like this whole other thing. It's a reality show and it's blah, 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 whatever. I mean, it's scripted. It's thought out. It's thought through. It's not reality like something just happened and we're catching on camera, you know? So
both of these
shows, you know, are doing something for the GLBT community in terms of, as I said, the mainstreaming. What I see happening with a show like Modern Family is, you know, its model is not to educate. Its model is not to do, its model is to have a great half-hour comedy that's with people that seem like real people that you might know, you know, in situations you can relate to, right? Contemporarily. But, you know, I was discussing this just this past week, you know, that's what's happening with Modern Family is that it's coming into households, same way RuPaul's Drag Race is. It's coming into households and we're seeing, you know, two gay men get married and we're seeing the dad of one of these gay men who we know as more the conservative character deal with, you know, walking up to that moment and the son confronting him. And it's all funny, and yet it's real. It's kind of like what you were saying earlier about Arrested Development, right? So we're seeing a man walk through coming to understand his own homophobia, his own limitations with his son. And then, you know, spoiler, sorry, you guys, if you didn't watch it 3 weeks ago, but, you know, walks his son down the aisle at his country club, you know, as kind of like the final yeah. scene, you know? And to me, the radical platform that that show is standing on in television history, when we go 40 years ahead, is the same thing that the Cosby Show was doing. Black family, affluent, wife and husband love one another, father's a doctor, kids, they have crazy scenarios, but they're trying to be good parents, they're trying to be good siblings, and all live under the same house. Redefined, you know, African-American families on television. And we can go, you know, we can go back and like look at a show like Laverne and Shirley, two women living together who didn't really, you know, went on dates every now and again, but it was more about two women having a job and living together mm-hmm. and living in the city. And, you know, all these shows that redefined race or sexuality or gender or whatever. And so I feel like, When you are doing something like that with community that has not had representation, you really, I just feel like it's irresponsible to throw your hands up and say, yeah, we're not responsible for what people think about, you know, the images or the what we're trying to tell about this particular community. So I don't really feel like RuPaul has a leg to stand on when he knows that, you know, this is a hugely influential opportunity for people to meet and fall in love with and root for the trans community. And he obviously has done so much good. So I'm not trying to throw RuPaul under the bus at all. I mean, he's done so many shows with straight men on that show, learning how to be feminine and trying drag and, you know, and really dealing with stories of, you know, these different contestants and also keep it fun and light. I mean, it's a
yeah, well,
it's
you a know, fun, I mean, thing. I it would be very interesting to me to ask RuPaul where he believes he falls. Mm. Is he a gay man?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a part of the transgender community? You know, what maybe he doesn't. I mean, he may not define himself in any way, which is totally fine, but it would right. be very interesting to me to find out politically if he had some kind of stance. I mean, that would be kind of great to find out,
too. Interesting that you don't know that. Like, I
no,
don't know
I
that,
don't. I have
you
no
also
idea.
Don't know
Do
that
you?
Either. No, I mean, I've just yeah. always felt like RuPaul was a gay man who does this character, you
yeah.
know? And I've never
yeah.
felt like... I have never referred to RuPaul as she, which is so interesting.
Well, but see, that's the other thing, too, is that, I mean, and RuPaul refers to himself as he.
Right.
And I think that even happens when he's in drag. I mean, I really don't know.
I don't know. But I just, my impression, you know, of the difference, and this is as a total outsider. I don't even think it matters that I'm in the queer community, except maybe I've just had more conversations than a straight person. But, you know, obviously I have no experience being transgender or, you know, I mean, beyond knowing and loving transgender people and having them as close friends. But, you know, my perception as an outsider, and I'm probably... obviously have a far more wide lens, so to speak, of watching RuPaul as a performer or an artist or television personality. That has been my perspective, you know, that that is the difference. That's the difference when I hear someone like you or I hear someone like Carmen who is going through the transition and is a different generation. And, you know, it's the difference. Like I just kind of... you know, the difference is I think someone who is truly transitioning and living their life as a gender other than what they were born as, you know, has everything to be impacted by the flippant use of these terms.
Well, I think that's right. Yes. And I love what you just said about especially using the word flippant, because I think that's important. And I also think it minimizes, for some reason, and a lot, you know, a lot of the stuff is coming out of my face for the very first time, but it minimizes the journey.
That's right.
That is really quite profound when you think about it. And, you know, I think we have to be really careful with each other.
Yep.
This infighting that happens, and it happens in all cultures and all tribes, you know, because we're all individual people. But this infighting is very worrisome to me. Mm-hmm. You can say whatever, you are free to say whatever it is that you want.
Yep.
You are free to use any piece of language you want. But if you're going to do that, and you're going to say to other people, don't tell me what I can and cannot say, then you've got to allow the fringe to call you faggots and tell you you have no right to be married and tell you you have no right to jobs and tell you, that they're not going to bake a wedding cake for you and your husband. You've got to be prepared to receive their text as well.
Yep.
I guess that's my problem, is that sometimes, and I'm generalizing here, and I'm not talking about RuPaul, I'm just generalizing, that if people are going to say, if you're the type of person who's going to say, give me freedom of speech, which means I get to say anything I want to.
That's right.
Then you've got to allow the same thing to happen to you.
Well, and that's the thing, right? We do have freedom of speech, but you can't cry fire in a building that there's no fire.
Well, that's right.
You know, I mean,
and you also can't incite violence in other people.
That's right. So
you're not allowed to do that.
And I think that this is, you know, this is the deeper issue, right? Is that language that gives power of those not like you against you is what we're talking about. You know, and I don't know if this word, I mean, ironically enough, interestingly enough, this is why I want somebody to write a book on this. I hope somebody's listening well, your wife is a great researcher. Maybe she can find this point out for me and you can let me know. But I would be really interested to see if the word comes from the trans community or if it comes from the straight community toward the trans community.
I looked that up. I researched that.
Oh, you did? Okay, what did you research?
I didn't find a thing. I found nothing. I literally cannot find where the word, weird, I can't believe that you brought that up. I cannot find out where it began or who began it. Now, the thing that I did find is that the word transgender happened in the 90s.
Yes.
Because I actually remember that happening too.
Yes.
I remember we were either pre-op or post-op transsexuals.
Yes.
There was transsexual, there was the word transvestite,
yes,
and there was the word drag queen, and those were sort of these categories. And when transgender happened, it happened sometime in the 90s, and it was a political movement in order to form an umbrella so that all of us could live under this umbrella, transvestite, transsexual.
I think that was like Ricky Wilkins and some of those activists in the trans community.
That's right.
You know,
that's
from,
right.
I mean, I think I was on the radio when that started. So it was like 96, 97, 98, right around there. It was the late 90s when transgender became the term
specified. I couldn't find anything about the origins of the word tranny. Nothing. Mm-hmm.
I just think it's interesting, right? Because I am sure the N-word came from the white community, the white, I don't know that for a fact, but I would assume that it came from white men primarily.
That's a really, really interesting
question. And I am curious if the T-word came from within or without the community. And I am wondering if it came from within, which is, you know, because our GLBT culture, you know, we have had these terms, you know, like, because I can imagine hearing a mainstream straight friend of mine using the T word and thinking they were being hip. Do you know what I mean? Like, thinking they were down with the lingo because they watch RuPaul, you know?
Right.
And so That's just interesting. Good God. We could talk about this for 2 hours, couldn't we?
I know. It's true.
But it's true. Maybe we will come back here in a month and follow up on this story, and maybe there'll be...
We totally should, because I'm telling you something, Amy. Chris Ann, my wife, yep, for those people who are listening, who's a professional researcher, actually is at the moment researching a thesis that is about the African-American experience. So she can find out where the N-word began,
yep,
I think, and originated. And I would like to get her going on the tranny gate. Tranny gate.
It's interesting, right? Because I wonder if it came from within. And when things come from within, you know, the self-esteem, the self-loathing that has been at a root cause of a
exactly
lot of the downfall of our own GLBT community, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, that it's far more insidious if it comes from within, you know?
That's right.
And it may
That's
be...
That's so smart. I love that.
It may be really what's caused kind of the... you know, the discord with this work.
I'll bet that's, well, I'm going to see if she'll research that for us and find out. And then I'm going to get back to you.
Well, look, I'm proud to know you. I'm proud to have your voice on the Queercast and giving your perspective. I'm really happy that we've been able to spend so much time talking about the transgender community and what is happening right now. Whether it's talking about this exciting series you're going to be doing called Transparent on Amazon, or whether it's talking about the controversy, you know, because it has us talking, you know, it has the mainstream talking,
that's right,
it has the GLBT community talking. And look, that's the best. Silence is death. Silence doesn't equal progress. Nothing moves forward. You know, we do need to talk. We can have civil debates about these things. And through that, hopefully we gain insight and strength and we grow, right? We grow.
Well, and I think what we have to really remember is that, you know, there is a transgender African-American woman on the cover of Time.
That's right.
I mean, you know, this is amazing that people in the mainstream are able to even say the word RuPaul and have a conversation about what tranny even means. So
that's right.
The fact that this is true in our life and that I've actually lived to see it is an absolute miracle.
Yeah. It's,
and I feel very lucky, very humbled, and very blessed. So we've come a long way.
We've come a long way, baby.
We've come a long way, baby.
I love you so much. Thank you so much for being
you
on the show. And I hope that here in a few weeks I could have you on again in July. We could hear how the television show's going and we could continue this conversation, because I am sure there will be more to come. So, Alex, happy Pride. And,
happy Pride, my darling.
And thank you for coming on. And everybody else, I
thank
hope you
have for
a
having me.
Have a great week, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.